welcome to Stories of Hope, brought to you by our friends at Hope 150. Stories of Hope features testimonies from around our country of the many ways God has given beauty for ashes and peace for despair. Tell us your story. Stories of Hope at hope150.ca.
Welcome once again to the program Stories of Hope. I've got Chad and Heather in studio. Welcome to The Light, guys.
Thanks.
Now, I know today's topic is sensitive because, I don't know, there's a political angle to things, and there's also people who have walked the walk that you've had with regrets. I'm going to start with you, Heather, and just talk about you letting us to know your story. A time in your life where you felt a need of hope, and maybe things were feeling kind of hopeless. What is your story?
Well, my story is many faceted, but the topic that we'd like to focus on this morning is just Chad and I got married at a very young age, and I got pregnant. And by the time I was 22, Chad had left. I couldn't handle the responsibility anymore. And so for 6 years, we were separated and divorced. And during that time, I got involved in a really inappropriate relationship. I was really lonely and compromised my faith, and I ended up pregnant again. I just couldn't handle the stress and pressure of being a single mom to another child. So I decided to abort that child. Mm. And it was very painful. But it was like I just went through it almost robotic, like, you know, without any thought, without any feeling, just did it. And it wasn't until after the fact, several years later, that it started to really manifest itself in really ugly ways.
So, Chad, at this point, when Heather had this abortion, you were completely out of her life. You didn't even know that she did this?
No, I actually knew that she did.
You didn't know?
We had custody every couple of weeks. I had the kids, so we would be in touch with each other. And Heather was my first love. I met her when I was 13 years old. And so I've always had a spot in my heart for her. So even during the 5 years or 6 years that we were apart, it was something that when we got together, we got along fairly well at times. But I knew actually that she was having the abortion, and I was actually in Salt Spring Island on vacation and sat across the table from my dad and told him just in a nonchalant way what was going on, and he just looked at me with sadness, and he says, "Well, is she okay?" And I had no idea. I didn't even check in on her. I just the way I felt towards things at that particular point, I was also calloused, uncaring, not realizing that the decisions that I made as a young man, and at that point I was still quite young. I was in my mid-20s, and I just had a callousness and an unfortunate selfishness to my life, and I didn't really care at that point.
So just so we're clear on where you guys were at spiritually and mentally at that time, were you a believer at this point?
No, I grew up in the church. My family went to church when I was a child, but it was 6 days living in the world, make it up on Sundays kind of thing. And that manifest in my life, in my teens, walking away from any semblance of a believer that I thought I was. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 12. But, looking back on it, obviously the fruit wasn't there. It was just doing something to please my parents at that point.
Mm. What about you, Heather? Where were you at spiritually when you mentioned the bad decision-making and things like that took place?
Well, I also grew up in the church, but like Chad, it was a very, 6 days off, one day on kind of thing, half a day on, really, while we were at church. As soon as we left the building, it was a free-for-all. So during my teenage years, I was extremely rebellious and extremely selfish and living a completely ungodly life. And when Chad and I divorced, the Lord drew me back to him. I was in such pain during that time and so scared and so traumatized by it all that, as the Lord often does, or as we as people often do, that's when we reach out to the Lord when we're going through the deepest, darkest times of our lives. And And so that's when I reached out to the Lord again. But there was so much baggage that I was dragging around with me that it prevented me from really being able to form a true walk with the Lord. I was still very much interested in doing my own thing as well. Mm-hmm. So when it came time for me to, you know, make choices about this relationship that I was in and then the ultimate pregnancy that happened, I wasn't interested in pleasing the Lord. I was interested in taking care of myself. It was like survival mode. It was like only about me.
Can we stop and park it here for a second on the topic of abortion specifically? Because as I mentioned at the beginning, this is something that's been around, you know, generations now, and people have a position on it. And that's what I meant by political. It's an ideology. You either believe that life begins at conception or you don't. Going back to this part of your life, Heather, did you take a position? Did you feel like, no, this is women's rights? It's just a fetus. It's not a baby. What was your mental state at the time of having the abortion?
I think if I had to take a step back and look at it objectively, I knew exactly what I was doing. I knew that it was a child. I knew that it was life from conception. I knew that, and I made that choice anyways. It was never it's just a bunch of cells or whatever, so it's not a big deal. It was never like that, which is why it was so traumatic afterwards and affected me in so many negative ways. I deliberately, willfully sinned against God. I willfully, deliberately chose to end the life of my child. And I will never think differently about that. And knowing that I made a decision like that will quite literally haunt me for the rest of my life. Mm. You know, the Lord has forgiven me and I'm so thankful for that. But it doesn't change what happened, you know. And I have a child waiting for me in heaven. And Chad has a child waiting for him in heaven, and I can't wait to see them. And we grieve for those children just as if they had been born. You know, I mean, they were a child. They were children, you know. They weren't just a mass of cells.
You talked about baggage and the pain you were living in when you relive that era of your life. How do you describe the pain? Is it that you feel the loss of the life? You feel the loss of a soul that was within you? How do you explain the pain that women have trouble getting over?
Well, as a mother, I mean, you are, and I, as most mothers can attest to, you are the nurturer of your children. And because I have three other children, I was and am still to this day the nurturer of those children. And it just goes against God's plan for our lives to harm one of those children, whether they're born or unborn. You know, I mean, we have been charged by the Lord to love and care for our children. And when you violate that, when you're disobedient to that, there are consequences associated with that. And along with that comes anger, a great deal of anger at yourself, at the circumstances that led you to that situation, you know, whether you put yourself in that situation or not, which I did. There's guilt about what you've done because it's a horrible thing that you've done. The shame, the fear that someone will find out. You know, this is your ugly, deep, dark secret that you keep hidden from the world, which I did for a long, long time. And you're afraid that people are going to find out. So you become very defensive and just you're like on walking on eggshells all the time, just waiting for somebody to find out and attack you for it. And it's just it's a very ugly place to be in. And it completely prevents you from being able to develop any kind of proper relationship with a spouse or with your children or with friendships, but most especially it is a huge barrier to being able to build a relationship with the Lord, because there's that huge sin that is blocking that bridge between you and Jesus. And until you confess and repent and truly ask for forgiveness, that can't ever go away. And so you're just carrying it around with you all the time.
And so, Chad, you mentioned that when you found out about, or you knew about Heather's abortion when you weren't with her. Now, you also lived the same experience because you left her, went to a different relationship, and the girl you were with at that time also had an abortion. Did Heather know about that?
She didn't know until probably a year or two later, probably when we got back together. You know, it's funny. I realize now, like back then, the decisions that I made, you know, as a young man, a selfish, prideful decisions that I made affected not just our lives, Heather and my two daughters. It cost two lives. It caused so much pain. And I didn't deal with it, really, until Heather actually started dealing with it. Because as guys, when you're going through it, you're calloused. You know, it's not your body. The relationship's over anyway, pretty much. And you can block that or drink it away or medicate it away, whatever it is that you do at that particular time in your life. It's not until you start dealing with it and realizing that the Lord has forgiven me for so much more than I even realized that had been done. But it was a very selfish time in my life. Mm. And I think there are a lot of men out there that probably go through the same thing and don't think about what the consequences are. They don't think about what Heather explained with her, the guilt and just the effects on her life. I never thought about it, not until I realized what she's going through.
I'd like to talk to you now, Heather, about where you did find hope for a better life.
Well, as I was, we've been attending church for many years and you know, trying to muddle our way through because we knew that the Lord was the only answer for everything that we've been through in our lives together. And I very unwillingly one year, about 6 years ago, went to a ladies' conference at our church. I've never been overly fond of ladies' conferences, so I very unwillingly went. But I am so very, very thankful that I was encouraged to go, because at this ladies' conference, a very dear lady got up and shared her testimony of hope and healing. And she had been through an abortion situation in her young life and found healing through a ministry called Healing Hearts International. And when I heard her testimony, I knew that I needed to jump all over that. And Healing Hearts is a ministry that got its start ministering primarily to post-abortive women. So I, like I said, I jumped all over that and I got involved with Healing Hearts and I went through the study and it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but it was amazing. And I learned so much about the Lord that even growing up in the church, I didn't know.
And like I what things did you learn?
Like His love is unconditional, which you know, but to actually embrace that and feel that it is a huge thing. Delving into God's word in a way that I never had before and just really dissecting it apart and getting into the meat of the word and what Jesus really came to earth to do for us, and that was to die for us, to provide forgiveness of our sins. And that's all sin. You know, God doesn't look at sin in a hierarchical kind of a way like we do. To Him, the sin of abortion is the same as the sin of lying. And once I understood that, that was hugely foundational, because I didn't think that the Lord could ever forgive me for abortion. It's murder. You know, how could He ever forgive that? And so I never even asked Him for forgiveness, because I just thought that would just never happen. And so that was one of the biggest things that I learned, was that Jesus will and wants to forgive me for everything. And that set me free in a way that nothing else had ever been able to previously do. And so finding hope in Jesus in that way was such a huge thing for me, and it changed my life. It really did.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel, or what are your thoughts when you hear about a girl who wants to have an abortion? Like if you happen to work with a girl who says and confides with you that she's going to have an abortion, are you filled with indignation? Are you filled with pain, sadness? What happens to you when you hear this topic come up in the news and you see the hundreds, if not thousands, of women holding placards saying, "My body, my choice"? What happens within you?
It grieves me. It grieves me so much that they are so deceived, that they don't understand that there are consequences associated with this, that with that choice that they are so anxious to have, that there are consequences that will live with them for the rest of their lives. And it grieves my heart in a huge way. And if someone were to come and share that with me, I would feel compassion for them that they're so deceived and that they are living a life of such darkness and sadness. And I would try to the best of my abilities to share with them the love of Jesus, that that child is precious in Jesus' sight and in all of our sights, and that the blessing that would come from having that child is something that they couldn't even begin to imagine, and that no matter what their situation is and what their circumstances are, abortion is not the answer.
What about you, Chad? You see that. How do you feel? What does it make you think?
Well, I have compassion, obviously, for the women that are having to go through this, especially when they're alone. I do have indignation at the political end of things. There is a deception there. And it's not just a deception. It reminds me of Romans 1 and 2, where they not only approved of such things, but really pushed them, you know, whether it be, you know, evolution or abortion. The fact of the matter is there's a great deception, and it's being pushed by political organizations. That's what makes me mad. Mm. The individual women, I know what they're going to go through. Seeing it in Heather, I know that it doesn't matter how much they deceive themselves. You know, when they're by themselves, when they're alone, when they have no hope, I know that that is something that would just eat away at their soul. There's really only one way to deal with it, and that is through Jesus.
Do you feel like this is being used as a form of contraception?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact that it's so readily available, I mean, that even back when I did this, and it was, oh gosh, 23 years ago now that I had my abortion, it was so easy, simple. It's not a hard process. It's not hard to find where to go. And in Canada, it doesn't cost. It's free of charge. It's just so easy for girls to just go in and do it and not even have to tell anybody.
And now there's a pill. You just have to take the morning after pill. It's that easy. And they put it in vending machines in some places.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really? Well, you know what? As long as we have voices that are influential out there that devalue life and make you believe that you're not harming a human, that was the very propaganda that the Nazis used. The Jews were not humans. Mm-hmm. And the same thing in terms of racial issues. The black people are not really humans, and so they're just slaves. And that's not really a baby. It's just a bunch of cells, and they call it a fetus. So, you know, there is a deception out there, and I wanted to thank you guys for coming and shedding light on your story. There's a lot of stories of hope, where we find hope in the Lord, and there's always a brighter future down the road. There's an event coming up. We call it Hope 150. Why don't you guys tell the audience a little bit about it, and let's invite them to come on out.
Well, I'm actually really excited about this event. It's taking place on June 30th and July 1st in time for Canada's 150th birthday. And there's going to be music and more stories of hope. As a matter of fact, Chad and I will be on the stage sharing our story as well there. And lots of stuff for kids and counseling. And it's just going to be a really, really amazing event. And I can't wait to see what the Lord does in the lives of Calgarians and those from Southern Alberta.
Where's it at, Chad?
It's right down at Millennium Park. It's on the Friday night, the 30th, and all day Saturday. It's truly a light in a dark time, time to gather and just be encouraged and give hope.
And we should probably mention that the impetus behind this event is a brother by the name of Jason Caldwell, mm-hmm. who, if people Google his name, would quickly realize that he is the dad of the two boys, the Caldwell boys, who lost their lives on the bobsled track at COP. And God has called him to share the hope that he had to carry on, you know, losing two sons. Nobody can imagine that. And yet he found hope and strength in the Lord. And this is what's going to be shared. I totally agree with you. It's like a light. It's going to be an opportunity to gather gather and sing. There's going to be a lot of amazing bands. You can go to hope150.ca and see the lineup of bands and the stories of hope. And I believe that they're asking people to bring their own testimony written out as well, where you can pin it to a board and people can, you know, passerbyers can go by and read it as well. And it's going to be a really exciting time.
Mm-hmm. It is, for sure. Yep.
Heather and Chad, thanks so much for coming in today and sharing your story of hope.
Thank you, Les.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Stories of Hope on AM 700 The Light. Share your story with us. Stories of Hope at hope150.ca.